It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Fresh Oil. This week on the program, I'm doing a verse-by-verse teaching from the book of James. Yesterday, we got into the first chapter of James, and James told us to consider it pure joy whenever we face all kinds of trials, because the testing of our faith develops perseverance. He's teaching us that the going through these trials causes us as believers to mature and to become more Christ-like. And then he told us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. He talked about the importance of the tongue. He said, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now today we come to the second chapter of James, and he starts out by saying in verse 1, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism." Wow, this is a heavy one. He tells us in the Church of Jesus, there's no room for partiality or favoritism based on a person's financial status or the way they look, their clothes, where they come from. We're supposed to treat everybody the same. "My brothers, don't show favoritism." And then he gives an example in verse 2. "Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes, and you say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Wow, I just shared the story with my congregation the other day about a pastor who just took over. It was like a 7,000 to 10,000 member church. And on the first Sunday, he came into the service dressed as a homeless man. He greeted people for a half an hour. He would say hi to people, and only three people out of the entire congregation actually spoke to him. He asked a number of people if he could borrow some change just to get something to eat, and no one allowed him to have any money to help him out so he could have something to eat. Finally, he went and sat on the front row, and the ushers came and asked him if he could move to the back. And then when the elders were introducing the new pastor, all of a sudden he stood up in the back as dressed as a homeless man, and he walked to the platform, and people's faces dropped. He then shared with them the verse where Jesus said, "I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger and you invited me in." And then they said, "When do we do this, Lord?" And he said, "As often as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me." And he said, "Today I see a gathering of people, but I don't see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he invited them to come back the next week. You see, it's so easy for us to judge somebody based on the outward appearance. It's so easy to just naturally show favoritism to someone who's influential, who comes into our church. But James warns us here, that is wrong, and that is evil thoughts. He said in verse 5, "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" I believe this problem that James is addressing here in the second chapter is not just something that happens in churches, but it happens in our everyday life. It's so easy to look at people and judge them based on the outward appearance. James goes on and he says in verse 6, he says, "But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong?" James is telling the Jews here, you're showing favoritism to the very people who are making your life difficult. In verse 8, he goes on and he says, "If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right." What a great law. Love your neighbor as yourself. In Luke chapter 10, an expert in the law comes to test Jesus, and he told him, he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And then the man replied, and who is my neighbor? And then Jesus gives them the parable of the Good Samaritan. You see, when the man was wounded on the side of the road, it wasn't the religious person that helped him. It wasn't the Levite. It was the outcast, the Samaritan, the one that the Jews did not even associate with and looked upon them as dogs. And now here in verse 8, James reemphasizes that same law, what he calls the royal law found in Scripture, to love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 9, James says, "But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." See, friend, that's the real curse of the law. The real curse of the law is you had to keep the entire law in order to be declared righteous. 613 commandments you find in the Old Covenant. And James says here, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. They fall like dominoes. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but commit murder, you've become a lawbreaker. I am so glad that Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. I'm so glad that he put me in this new covenant of grace. James goes on in verse 12. He says, "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Friend, there are so many times we're so quick to judge when God is saying, "Show mercy." Now we're going to change in verse 14. James is changing up the theme, and he gets into talking about faith and deeds. He says in verse 14, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds?" Oh, there are a lot of those today. "Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it?" You see, there's so many times when I see a homeless person or I see someone asking for money or whatever, and the thought always goes through my mind, "Beware lest you entertain angels unaware." I'm often wondering, is that the Lord testing me to see if I'm just sending them on their way with a pat on the back? Or should I reach out and assist them? But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." He goes on and says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God," and that's a prayer the Jews prayed every day. "Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one God." He says, "Good, even the demons believe that and shudder." So it's not just that you believe, but you got to do the deeds. You got to put some faith, some action to your faith. He says, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says," I love this verse, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see, that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. You see, as believers, as born again people, we have to put some action to our faith. We need to go beyond just saying all the right things and looking good on the outside. We got to have the inside of the cup washed, and we got to show some actions with our faith. And then he gives another example. "In the same way," verse 25, "was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." My friend, religion without a relationship with God is nothing more than a corpse. It's not enough to just claim to have faith. We have to put some action to our faith and do what God has called us to do. We're called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Now let's just get started today with the third chapter before we wind up today. Look at James chapter 3. It's probably the most famous chapter in the book of James because it talks about the tongue. James says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Boy, that verse really hits me hard because I realize as a teacher, and not just a pastor of a church, but someone who has this opportunity on a daily basis to go into to all the cities that where you're listening to this program today, I have to give an account to God for what I share on this program, for what I teach, for my study time, my preparation to give you a balanced meal from God's Word. We who teach will be judged more strictly. And then he says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. James is telling us here in chapter 3 that one of the marks of maturity is how you handle the tongue. How we handle the tongue. It's so important that we are in control of the words that come out of our mouth. He goes on in verse 3 and he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So now James gives us two examples here. The first example is that of a horse. We put bits into the mouth of the horse to make it obey us and to turn the animal in the direction we want to go. And the second example he gives us is a large ship that's steered by the tiny little rudder to make it go in the direction he wants it to go in. You see, friend, the tongue that we have in our mouth can steer the ship of our life in a good direction, or it can steer it in a bad direction. If our tongue is under the control of the Holy Spirit, it'll turn us into a right direction, like it would a ship with a rudder. He goes on and says in verse 5, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. See, he's saying that little tongue in your mouth, it's a tiny portion of your body, but it has a huge impact. He says the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. Have you ever said some words that it's almost like you could see them coming out of your mouth and you just wished you could stop yourself before it came out? Or you said something and you thought, wow, that was painful and hurtful. I wish I could take it back. But the damage had already been done. My friend, you and I need to guard our tongue and we need to be careful of the words we say because it can literally steer our life in a wrong direction. And it has a great impact on those around us. It can cause someone else's day to be a lot better or a lot worse. Talking today about the tongue on Fresh Oil from James chapter 3. I want to challenge you today, my friend, to submit your tongue to the Lord and let Him tame it and let Him make an impact upon your heart through the entrance of His Word. I so appreciate you joining me for Fresh Oil today. What a privilege it is to come into your home each and every weekday at the same time and to be able to share with you the gospel of God's grace. My friend, God's grace had such an amazing impact on my life. Grew up in church all of my life, but it wasn't until my adult years when I discovered God's grace and how amazing it has been in my life. It changed my life, friend. I'm challenging you today, study the book of James, and we'll see you here tomorrow at this same time as we dive into the third chapter of the book of James.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional. He makes His mercies new every morning.